Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with me, your wee mate Shane Todd. Before we get into this episode, let me plug the Patreon. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. We have everything on there. Possibly the last remaining tickets to our Patreon-only event, Stars in Their Eyes or Your Eyes, whichever one it is. Which is it? There's yours.
It's someone's their eyes.
Stars in somebody's eyes. We're doing that in the limelight. There's going to be 700 sippers there. It's a standing only gig. It's going to be like a rock show. It's your favorite comedians. If you've been to see us do stand up there before, it's all nice and seated. This is standing. Blood, sweat, and tears. You'll taste it all. Their last tickets for that will be on Patreon.
Also, we just hit 3,000.
We just hit 3,000 on Patreon. Boom! What a class milestone. Thank you very much to everyone for their continued support. When we get to 4,000, we're going to go to Las Vegas to record an episode of the podcast. This podcast, oh yeah, also ShaneTalkComedy.com, tickets, come see me on tour. I'm about to do my run at the Opera House again. Someone from the Opera House told me that I have now done the longest stand-up run solo in Opera House history, and the only people that have done it longer are Lauren Hardy and Morecambe Wise. Yep. And they're due.
Okay.
22 shows, biggest run ever.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Also, but we haven't fact checked it. Also, we, Patreon, shane.comedy.com. I'm going to America, Canada, Australia, Dubai, and then we've got Liverpool, Glasgow, Manchester, and there'll be an Aberdeen show on there by the time this is out. We are sponsored by none other than Manscaped. You know these guys by now, these crazy guys over at Manscaped, dick and ball expert extraordinaires. They're magicians. See all the hairs you got in weird places? Now you see it, now you don't. They have these wild products, and I've just got this for the first time, the handyman, okay? And I don't mean, someone that comes around to fix shelves and have an affair with your mom. I mean this thing right here. It's a compact face shaver, and that doesn't just mean for you guys with small faces. William Thompson, I'm looking at you. I'm talking about, as it's a small piece of kit, but it does a lot of big things. Look at this. What is this, a mobile phone from 1997? Of course it's not. It is a shaver. Whoa. Do your face right up with that. I'm taking this home. I'm going to use this. I thought this was sent for me specifically, but it wasn't. But I'm going to take this home. I like it. I like the feel of it. It's sleek. It looks like if I was on The Apprentice and I was designing a mobile phone, it would be like this. But this is not a phone. This is you shaving your face. Or, Dan, could you shave your arms with this if you wanted to?
You could give it a go, but...
You give it a go.
But the lawnmower 4.0 would be probably better.
Manscaped are the number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. They do absolutely everything you can ever think of. It's coming up to Christmas. Maybe you're doing a Secret Santa and work. Maybe you've got a hairy workmate. You want to get him some Manscaped products? Shouldn't have been looking at his dick and balls, but if he's too hairy down there, you get him the Lawnmower 4.0 with wireless charging technology. They have absolutely everything. They've got a great deal for our listeners, which is 20% off and free shipping using the code TWITHME. The link for that is in the description. These guys have it all. Beard balm, ball preserver, beard oil, beard conditioner, hydrating body spray, ball toner, a brush. What's that for?
I think that's to clean one of the... Maybe the trimmer, the hedger.
Maybe for the hedger. You want to use that after. You can use that on yourself or a friend. If they... Look. Scissors, what are they for?
Cutting things.
Cutting, like, what, your hair?
Yeah, show us how.
Yeah, so they have everything. Manscaped.com, use the code TWITHME for 20% off and free shipping. My guests on the podcast this week are two returning favourites. These guys randomly did the podcast last time together. I go, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It just works. It's like chalk and cheese. That's not the phrase. These guys are two of the best comedians anywhere on Ireland, in Ireland also. They are none other than Christopher Kent and Michael Bartlett, a.k.a. Chris Kent and Mickey Bartlett. Please enjoy this episode of the Tea With Me podcast. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Shane. It's good to be back.
And Chris, you've been touring, you've been on your travels.
Yeah.
Not as far as this guy. Mickey pops to Australia like someone going to an apple green.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just heading
to Australia here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just telling us to,
I've gotten so good at going to Australia, I don't even wake up on the flight now.
Right.
on the way back from the nightmare, this is funny, right? So the way I came back on Wednesday night, or got back Wednesday night, and I have a system for long haul flights, which I've talked about on many podcasts before, right?
Can I try and remember? Is it two Jack and Cokes?
It's four whiskeys, two Cokes, right?
four whiskeys, two Cokes.
You just batter them as quick
in
as
that
you
order.
Can. Yeah,
as soon as you get,
can I get two Cokes, please?
As soon as you can, they'll come over. I'll eat before I get on the plane, and I'm like, do you want some food? And I go, no, can I have two whiskey and Cokes? And I'm like, right, no problem. And I've also, and this might sound awful, I've done it enough times now that I know what the category of how good the drink's going to be based on where the air steward's from.
Okay. So what's good and what's, right, going to be bad?
Black Lady, you're not getting a strong drink and you're getting a wee bit of side eye for hitting the bell, right? Japanese lady, you're going to get a good strong drink, and even though she's going to be annoyed about the fact you're hitting the bell, she's going to do it, right? Filipino dude, my friend, you're getting hammered. Right? You're getting fucking shit. Like, we're shaking on them. He's like, what do you want for Babi? Like, so I flew from Perth to Doha, right? And did the four whiskeys, two Cokes, got about halfway through the first Fast and the Furious movie and went, it's time for a wee sleep, right? Yep. Woke up 10 hours later, smashed it. Straight off the plane in the Doha.
10 hours.
Just fucking pulled up, right? Got in the Doha.
It's
and fucking had to hang over there for like an hour, right? Got on the flight from Doha to Dublin, and I'm like, I'll just do it again, right? So I got I've seen Fast and Furious that many times. I managed to go like that and get to exactly the point where I left off on the last flight.
Right.
I was like, whiskey and coke, please, right? Smash that. I had a bit of a cold, so I couldn't taste it.
So what nationality?
It was a black lady. She was a wee bit fucking... Here you are, right? Wasn't that much whiskey in it. And I'm like, I'm looking at the Filipino guy like,
yeah.
Me or you?
I'm freaked out, must he? Must be when you walk on a flight, see a Filipino man, yes.
But then again, I've been on the flight that many times. I walk on the flight and they go, well, Mick. Like, yeah. All right, Sanchez, you know what to do. But so I couldn't fall asleep, right? So I'm just fucking hammering. And I watched three Fast and Furious movies back to back. Five's the best one. Right,
take your word for it.
Got off the
plane. I got as far as five at all.
I also, by the way, in Doha, because I was drunk, getting off the first flight, a wee bit hungover, spent £250 a pair of Hugo Boss aviators, right? Don't even fit me.
That's such a, like, 2002 move.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Aviators, glasses.
Sunglasses, yeah. Well, I look like a pilot.
I'd lose them straight away.
Man, they're awful. They're fucking stinking. Yeah. And so I'm standing outside the airport, got my bags and stuff. I'm getting the bus back up home. And this guy came over, and I don't want to do an accent, but he was a Pakistani guy. And he was like, hey, dude, how's it going? And I straight away...
Worst Pakistani accent ever.
Well, dude, hey, dude, right? And straight away, I'm like, oh, it's good to be home. This fucker probably wants a photo, right? Me and fucking aviators. And I went, dude, where'd I know you from? And he went, I was sitting beside you the whole flight. I had no idea he was there. I was that drunk. Wow. I didn't know I was sitting beside somebody. I was just watching Vin Diesel like, fucking yes!
Now, do you have anything now for the boss?
Uh-huh.
You cracking anything for the bus?
Water, man, because I have to drive when I get home.
Right.
Trying to sober up.
Yeah, yeah.
Really.
Big River Rock.
That's your nickname.
Used to call me in jail.
That's your, like, Native American name. Big River Rock.
Big River Rock. Powerful.
I don't like, I know it feels like,
Pakistani people, Jesus, Shane.
We always talk about Australia, but see, I don't think I have a system for flying, but I do. I need to have my football magazine. I need to have, like, just things set up a certain
stickers,
way.
Man?
No, not stickers.
Paninis.
You're thinking about match?
What sandwiches?
Oh, match sticks. Yeah, paninis.
I read 442 now, more of the gentleman's football magazine.
Oh, of course.
But
yes.
I'll work out when I'm going to sleep.
No, sorry, that. Just that magazine. Is that one of those magazines that has a good spine on it? Or is it a, yeah,
oh, good spine,
like a sort of an Empire and Esquire type of?
It'll come plastic wrapped.
Oh,
so you might have a pull out there as well. So you're getting your
okay, yeah.
That West wrapped in plastic, so you can wipe it down.
Yeah. What's his name sitting next to you?
Me just blowing the load over Gabriel Batistuta. I
bless you.
I have a wee system, but you're we'll talk more about Australia.
So what's your football magazine and
snacks? I bring food from home for the flight.
Good shout.
Do you not get the food on the flight at all?
I probably can't eat it, so I'll bring. And I know certain parts of Dublin Airport where I can get various things. I'm not just going, you know, I go to this shop for my porridge, and then I go to Holland & Barrett to get the wee sachet almond butter.
Yes.
So I'll team them up together. I know where to get different stuff. Very efficient. I get a wee bit of chocolate from Boots.
Nice.
You know, leave me to it, basically. Like, I'm not going to sit in the airport and have a drink with you. I go, you have your drink. Yeah. I need 40 minutes to get round, get those free waters, you know. Suggest a donation, a euro.
Do you know what I recommend for a good long-haul flight? A good face mask.
on a flight.
I'll flip a wee face mask out at some point as well. And fucking Hannibal Lecter.
Imagine waking up and then being a wee Pakistani guy, waking up and turning around to Mick. Just
that was the thing. Like when you wake up, I've been asleep that long. Fast and the Furious 4 is playing. Yeah. It's all dried in. And like, Clad Ace.
I love a good face mask, Matt. They're unreal. Absolutely brilliant. Terrible eyelids, you see. Shocking.
Ah,
and still see you now.
It's mate.
I had a very bad. I'm awake, man. A little asshole of light coming in the door, and I'm done for the day. Like,
right.
It's very annoying.
Is it something when you're younger you don't have the confidence to put the face mask on, and then there's a point in life where you realize I'm going to wear
absolutely.
A face mask.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Do you know what's upsetting me is the best face masks are made for women.
Yeah.
But they're too small.
Yes.
And the men's ones are.
What do you mean for your face?
Yeah. Like because they're bigger heads.
Your mouth would be, you know. It does, the eyes and mouth are too close.
It'll stop about there on me. And I'm like, what about my wee fucking Mercedes bits?
Yeah.
You see, the thing is now, I got one, my wife got me one, but she bought it back from a hen party.
Uh-huh.
So there's a big cock on it.
Class.
So that's funny. And I had that for ages and I lost it.
You're
really,
relaxing.
Funny enough, I really enjoyed it. Like, right. It was like, you can't sleep on your back or anything.
My ex got me one from a... There's a zip in it, no?
Zip in it. But it was really, it was one of the most comfortable ones I've ever had. And it was just the texture and the fibre of it and all.
Yeah.
Just had the cock, obviously. Yeah. That's the problem, you know?
Give you something to play with.
Yeah.
Balls?
But if someone breaks in, like, they're not going to... Like, they take a look at you in the bed.
Balls on it?
Straight back out. Yeah, but like, it looked like one ball, you know, it wasn't really.
The balls on your eyes.
Yeah, the detail wasn't amazing though, but you'd know it was a cock.
Yeah. Oh, you'd know for sure.
It's like, someone drew this thing. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was the fabric version of a drawing of a cock.
Aye.
And just kind of flappy. Yeah.
Sippers, let me take literally 1 minute of your time to interrupt the Tea With Me podcast. This episode of the Tea With Me podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp make professional therapy accessible, affordable, and convenient. They're three great things. So anyone struggling with life's challenges can get help anytime and anywhere. You don't have to go to a place. You can be in your own house. You can be in. You can be on your landing. You can be on some stairs. You can be in your conservatory if you're lucky enough to have one of those. This time of year can be challenging for all of us with the upcoming pressures of Christmas. A lot of stress comes along Christmas. It's a magical time of year, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on. Whether it's financial pressure, work-related, or just general life stuff. Therapy can give you the tools to deal with the stress and challenges we all face. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries at work and with family and friends, which is really important with Christmas, I guess. It can empower you to be the best version of yourself, and isn't just for people who've suffered major trauma. You know, I think here is a part of the world, at home I'm talking about, where you know, you wouldn't traditionally see therapy as an option for wanting to talk to someone, wanting to work through some stuff. But BetterHelp provide a great way to do that. And it's not like, you know, you'd be on your way to speak to a therapist, someone goes, where are you going? You feel embarrassed about it. You're just in your house having a cup of tea and a biscuit. You can find your bright spot this season with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/teawithme today to get you 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/teawithme. The link is in the description. Let's get back into this episode.
How far into your tour are you, Chris? This will be my fourth week now. Okay. So, yeah, up and going.
It's a fucking big tour as well, isn't it?
I know, I think.
70 dates, did you say?
Fuck, 70, yeah, 70 keeps going.
Jesus.
Oh, it's great, man. Because this time last year, I was shitting myself, handing my notice in at the job. Like, you know, I was like, I don't know if I can do this stand-up fucking shit again, like, full-time, you know? So, genuinely blown away. I'm having a great time.
Unreal. Where's surprise? Like, where's somewhere you put on the tour and went, this isn't going to sell? And it did.
Here, probably.
Okay.
Here in a way, yeah, because Mandela, we were talking about it last time, and it went, and then they put on another one, and that's going, so I was like, that's probably a big surprise. Waterford as well, Theatre Royal in Waterford, I went from a little dinky to a big, nice, beautiful theatre, like, you know, it's just a different style of life, like, isn't it?
I wouldn't know. Dolans
as well. 80 seats, I'm still doing clubs as well, 80 seats in Dolans, and then I went up to, like, the kind of cool rock venue, 250, and we're doing a couple of them now, so.
Class.
Oh, it's just brilliant. Unreal, like, yeah.
Adding the show, you'll know with Waterfront, adding the show is the best thing.
Adding the show is brilliant.
Yeah. It's brilliant if, when you're, because you're refreshing the whole first day.
Yeah.
And when you see a lump go the first day, you go, I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's that panic of like, what if no fucker comes to this one?
Yeah.
Like,
adding a show is the first time I've ever had to do it. So I'm adding shows. Like last year, I was subtracting shows. Do you know what I mean? From my tour. I was literally going, we haven't sold enough tickets. Can we put you in a smaller venue up in town?
Yeah.
That happened to me in Kilkenny. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And the gig was brilliant. But now it's fucking gone the opposite way. So it's class.
On
You deserve it, Tuman.
Oh, cheers. It's
good to see it.
Do you know anyone in Birmingham?
I knew you six fellas lived there for a while. Wee troubles joke for you. Never forget. They did nothing wrong.
I'm not telling them Birmingham.
Tell
I'm not telling there. We're not doing
when
Birmingham.
That,
we're not
when
doing
is that?
In Cardiff. But for 2 weeks.
Birmingham is a small enough room, though, isn't it? It's like 150 or something.
The Glee?
Yeah. Or is it the main room you're in there?
It's the main room, mate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, it's
didn't
weird
know there was a small
it's a strange thing.
I'm a small room.
I haven't, and I don't ever word speak. I've never done, like, I've never toured around the UK. I'm planning to do that later next year, I think. But I always
that's
thought
mad to me that you haven't done that.
It's crazy, yes. Well, no, it's just, I've never really... I've done clubs, I've done all the clubs over there and stuff, but I've never spent enough. You know what I'm like with self-promotion? I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
But I know that Birmingham's, that's where we get our biggest listenership for Deck Chair and Yums.
Okay.
Two fellas.
yeah.
Take us this by storm.
Yeah.
That's weird though, because everywhere else is going grand for you, isn't it?
Most places, like some of the American ones, you look, like, I get that it's people probably buy late there because there's so much on, yeah. You know, so much like variety of shows to go to. There's one that has sold zero. And
where's
that? 60 LA.
When is that?
It'll be alright in LA. It's busy.
It's in November.
Ah, sure, it's great.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Like, yeah. It's only 60, but I don't know if you ever get to a level where you look at a spreadsheet of what you sold and you're just totally okay with it. Like,
yeah.
You panic about all of it.
Because even those shows that are sold out, there still might be 40 or 50, or even depending on the size of the venue, it could be a couple of hundred. It still counts as sold out.
Yeah.
And you're going. Green dots.
Yes. Yeah, the green dots. That's all you're trying to do is just get rid of the green dots.
You start being like, can we sell the disabled ones or what's correct?
Yeah.
Will I do it?
People in wheelchairs are going to have to fucking just...
Yeah, just stand.
Just grab it. It's tough shit. They should have been fucking quicker.
You've already got a seat.
You
should
have been quicker off the mark. You know, you've got handy parking outside. You want the good seats. Listen now.
Do you always stay at home when you're turning around Ireland and stuff? Do you always bounce back to home or do you stay where you're playing?
Try and go home as much as I can. I'm staying here now and I'm in Dublin tomorrow night, so I'm staying in Dublin. But I'm doing driving most of the time. Most of the time I'm driving home.
Like the tour driving. It gives you time to think about the shows.
Yeah.
And you see different wee garages and all.
A few times I've like given the support act a lift and halfway through the lift the drive home, like... Well, she went by himself. I just can't be arsed talking. I've just you've done like an hour
we've
and a half.
We've talked about everything. Yeah, Connor's on the road with me now, and we've talked about everything.
Yeah.
And it's
it can be good.
But that's
too,
all right, though. We're fine with that.
Right. Like, if you get that,
the way down is best.
Aye.
When you have other people in the car,
yeah,
it's all cool. It's all about the show, and like you say, like on the way back, it's like
you calculate what time you're going to get into bed and what time you're going to have to get up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, when did I eat? Can I eat something else?
Yeah.
Do you So you're going back to Australia again in December.
Mm-hmm.
You're always just nipping over.
Just
I love
nipping
it.
Over, man. I love it out there. Like it is just like I don't know if I'd ever move because I don't know if you could really make a living as a stand up.
It's too fucking, it's too spread out.
I know, but even like in a big city, you would be working every night.
Aye, but a lot of the fucking stuff you're not getting paid for it.
Oh,
you know what I mean? There's a lot of that, like. Cause it's like,
so even if you did, like their equivalent to Laveries or something, you might not be getting paid for that?
No, if you're doing like the professional clubs, you'll be getting paid for them. Right. But a lot of them will be doing, like their weekends are busy, but during the week they'll have new material nights where it's just trying stuff out.
Yeah, what was that one in part called again? The main
Comics Lounge?
Yeah, that's a nice old club,
it's great.
It?
Great wee club.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going back out. Three shows, the 14th, 15th, 16th, or 15th, 16th, 17th. I can't remember, but it's like Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney.
Nice.
And that's going to be like just three in a row.
That's your tour show, then, is it?
Yeah.
Is that your tour show? Unreal.
And then going back, I'm going to do the Perth Festival in January. So
the whole thing?
I think I'm just doing a week.
Nice.
But I'm going to do spots the first week and just do compilation shows, and then my show will be the second week.
Nice.
Which I think is the best way to do festivals, is not do the whole run anymore.
Speaking of festivals, you both seem to really enjoy The Fringe, which is mental. You never get two comedians who are like, no, I had a great time.
Yeah.
One person had a great time, one person hated it.
Yeah.
But nearly everybody this year I spoke to loved it.
It felt like a very different Edinburgh this year,
didn't
it?
It was great. I did half of it. Did you do half?
I did the full thing.
Yeah, I did half. And I was ready to stay on, you know? That's how much I was enjoying it. I was like, this is actually fucking great, right?
Yeah.
Probably glad I left
it. Do you think part of it is, not that you go, I'm going to sell loads of tickets, but you now are at a point where you go, there will be people at the shows.
Absolutely.
Mm. You know, so that takes a huge pressure off it.
Massive factor. That's the first time it ever happened for me. But I made a decision before I went anyway, and before it was selling or anything, I said, I'm not flying. I don't give a shit. I'd rather play it to 20 less people and have a better time. every night of the week.
Man, I had the same. I usually flyer, same as you, be flaring 2 hours before the show.
You're flat out.
Your head is gone then.
Absolutely. And I always thought it was, I used to think it was a good thing because it got you sort of prepped for doing the show. But this year, my venue was just slightly outside of, it was just past the Pleasance.
Yeah. Oh, it was over there by, the Teutonic one, over there.
So there's no footfall. So it was like there was no point going into the big sort of hubs, the flyer to go, do you want to walk 10 minutes?
And then give directions.
Yeah. So it wasn't going to work. And I had a fucking ball.
Yeah.
Just turning up 10 minutes before the show.
Yep.
And whoever was, whatever tickets you sold that morning, that's what you had that night.
Yeah, same.
And
you're at peace with it as opposed to. And there's no green dots really in Edinburgh, sure there's not?
No green dots.
There's no green dots, that's the thing. Because when you're flyering, that's the thing. You have 2 hours of just frantically trying to fucking hand flyers out.
Yeah.
Then you get there and you go, how many were sold? And then you find out your flyering did nothing.
Yeah. So two returns.
Yeah. Swear to God,
lady up there.
I got a 3-star review one night and I flyered a guy and he was like, oh, I've already got tickets. And then he went, oh, mate, I just read the review of the show. And he fucking took his ticket back.
What a dickhead.
The last time I was flying was Pleasance Courtyard doing a show, and I had like my poster was a class that year. It was a real stylish poster, and I was sort of like, it was a picture of me, but it had been an effect of put over it. Sort of looked a wee bit computer.
Was that Sick Bro?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember it was red, and it was like it looked drawn, but it was a real image. And I flyered a girl for the show, and she was standing there with her husband and a couple other couples. And she went, oh, she went, I might go to this. This guy's a bit of all right or something. And I'm laughing, being like, ah, yeah, good one. And she's like, oh, yeah, who's he? And I'm like, oh, it's me. And she went, no. And the whole group started dissecting the image and then me and being like, nah, that's not, your cheeks are a lot more gaunt than that. And I had to listen to them. Just
great. No, you're like, the show's about Crohn's, nearly died.
Yeah.
Just trying to get into character here. Yeah.
I had it once, 1 year we had, me and Kai Humphreys to save money, had double-sided flyers.
That. Yeah, I remember and, that. Man, you were living with me that year,
I think. And every day I'd be out like flyering for the show. And they go, oh yeah, what's the show about? Oh, Kai Humphreys, I love him. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck me. That was a disaster.
Yeah, I don't, I couldn't see myself do it. As well as that, they like, there's like a bit of mystery taken away or something when they've like met, when you're the guy doing it.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I used to something think it took care of the crowd work, but then this year coming in and actually doing crowd work, you go, oh, this is way more fun.
Yes.
Every day is like, I had a guy, it was just like second or third day in, and there's a guy in the front row, right, the dead center, and I was like, what's your name? And he went, Clint. And I'm like, fuck off. And the guy went, ask me my second name. And I'm like, no, it isn't. No, it fucking isn't. And he pulled his ID out and his name was Clint Eastwood. Right?
No.
Swear to God.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm like, who are you with? And he goes, my wife, Tina. And I'm like, well, what's her second name? Turner? Fucking. Yeah. And immediately I was like, I don't have a camera for this show. Yeah. I need to get a camera.
Can we do it again?
Well, I spent $1,000 on a camera, right? The rest of the month, what's your name? Paul, nothing. It's like fucking nothing else happened.
Just dub it, man. Just dub it.
My name's Elton. What's your surname? Smith.
Turn the volume down and just put Clint
in. Anybody in here called Bruce Wayne?
Elvis. All right, Elvis O'Hanlon.
That's the guy from City Centre.
Jelvis, mate.
Oh, Jelvis.
I was going to ask about the Australia and going back over. I love it, and I'm going back next year. It's so class.
Aye.
But what I like is your wee, because you know you don't put a lot up, like you say, but self promotion. You're out there. You know put some stuff up, but I love to just catch a wee glimpse of what you're getting up to out there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I like it when you, maybe not like an extravagant purchase, but when there's something you do, and you're. I can just picture your face doing it, like you're a real expensive hotel room.
Yeah.
For one of the night. Oh, I love knowing you're doing wee things like that. And I picture you with your wee gin swanning around.
How'd you go? How'd you go? Like, was it a proper
star? It's a 6-star hotel.
It's him and that Filipino man.
Neither did I. I had fucking no idea.
Mickey and Sanchez. And,
it was a whole crowd of us went out for just a fucking birthday party. And because the dollar's weak at the minute, it was about 200 quid.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm buying dinner, folks, don't worry about it. Like, but it has electric fucking curtains.
Oh, God.
You pressed the button from the bed.
I had so much fun just standing in the nip drinking.
Yeah.
And then I went down to the pool and looked up and realized that the windows aren't fucking... you can see in. So, like, there's just families were looking up and there's me and my wee todger out. Like, being all, you can't see me. They fucking could.
Oh, you thought it was tinted or something.
See right in. I was like, fuck, I was doing some really weird shit to myself.
Badly timed me wank there today.
Just a £250 Hugo Boss glass.
Yeah. drinking the minibar and all. Yeah.
Sanchez serving you up.
Can you bring Sanchez up again, please?
Anything else out there? Like anything you splashed out on? You just went, I'm going to, like, a wee treat to yourself?
I went to like an outlet centre in Perth. It's all like fucking designer brands.
That'd be my downfall.
I went fucking apeshit.
See, me and you have been there together.
Oh my God, massive shoes. So I went a wee bit silly there. But again, it was that cheap that it wasn't like...
Yeah.
It looked like loads of stuff, but it was about £200. Yeah,
yeah. Can I admit something to you?
Mm-hmm.
I bought a lot of clothes recently from Crows and Clothes. From Marks and Spencer's.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have seen myself doing that a few years ago.
It's your age, man.
I know. But I've given into it.
Yeah. Cardigans.
Some knitwear type stuff. Uh-huh. Some like quilted jackets, I would describe them as. But I've given in.
I bought a 14 tog duvet yesterday.
That's thick.
That's thick.
It's a thick. I don't like a thick duvet. I wouldn't think. I like a thin duvet in the window.
I don't know. Right? I feel like it's king size too. So I feel like I'm going to just be a big burrito on the bed. Like,
I could see you burrowing into that.
Yeah, proper.
I could see you getting in, like, you know when they look at, like, animals, like, in a net. I could see you under the whole duvet. Yeah.
Wake up like a mole.
Yeah.
Just vape straight away.
Head out.
Yeah, that's me trying to find my vape in bed. Yeah. Fucking prairie dogging. That's something else.
So two Mandels, Chris. Like, that's... It's
There's
almost like
he's dead.
It used to be. It used to be acts here couldn't really sell tickets, and anyone visiting almost from anywhere outside of Belfast could. And
really,
now it's gone the other way.
Yeah, it's gone the other way. Yeah,
so it's almost like a huge testament that you're not. You come up here all the time, but you're not based on the Belfast scene.
Yeah,
but the audiences are coming to the shows and showing the love and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's all. That's nice to be coming over to. Be part of a scene here and there, but just being treated like a local comic
class,
as well. If you know,
you're also undoubtedly, I've said it before, undoubtedly the best comedian in Ireland.
Ah, jeez.
Yes. Do you know what I mean? There's there's no fucking question about it. Like,
yeah,
I'm so fucking happy for you. It's good to see.
That's a good buzz, man. It's a massive relief, to be honest. Like, you know, it genuinely is. And I haven't gotten paid for any of my shows yet, so it hasn't really sank in.
Hate that, you know. The settlement.
Like, the tickets are gone, but
it's that thing too. Though, do you know that fucking? I'm sure you've had it as well, but like I definitely had it. When I did the Waterfront last year, and that was my biggest biggest show I'd done, went fucking great. And I always talk about this as well. I remember walking off stage, and as soon as the lights had faded, my brain went, you used to do that again. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Do you know that the idea of at some point you think the credits are going to roll? It's going to say the end, and you'll be like, I was happy for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it turns out your brain's like, do it again, cunt. You're like,
Yeah.
Put nothing up there.
Yes. I was saying to Chris before this, I hate that my tour spread out this year. I like back-to-back nights. Just go get it done.
Yeah.
I like feeling really sharp.
The break in the groove.
I did Derry a few weeks ago, but it feels like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
So now I'm doing Opera House on Monday, this Monday. But it feels like
you're
it's been months since I've taken.
You forgot the show.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch myself.
You're at the Opera House on Friday, which is the 13th?
Yep.
Because I'm in the Waterfront.
People have been asking me.
Do you know there isn't a hotel room in Belfast?
Yeah.
Fuming. Can't get a hotel for my own fucking gig.
Are you serious?
Swear to God.
Well, people have been saying, I'm going to both because I'm doing early and late.
Aye.
And they're going, I'm going to your early show. I don't know if I'm going to see Mick. And I've been saying, you'll not be on until about 8:30 or 40.
Quarter to nine, probably.
Perfect.
So, yeah, because somebody messaged me.
What a day people are going to have.
It works out perfectly. It's a good job we've got the same promoter in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just go see Shane's, then fucking...
No, the other way around. Oh, yeah. No.
Your early one?
Yeah.
What time's your late one?
9. They couldn't do both.
Oh, yeah,
you have to go to my early and your show.
What if we just put,
just
put a phone up and FaceTime?
Somewhere in between, just Victoria Square?
Yeah.
Just under your big 14.
Just me and you do it over Zoom. We go do now. Right, do that bit. Right, I'll wait.
Where are you looking forward to most, Chris, on your tour?
Looking forward to Vicar Street on Saturday. Fucking, I'm filming it and it's sold out and I'm like just really buzzing about that one.
Yeah.
What else am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to a few now. There's a couple of other big ones. The Dolans have been great and we're doing it again.
Limerick?
Oh, it's class.
Never gigged in Limerick.
It's a real rocker type of venue, like, you know, and it's just like proper, feeds like a proper comedy club, but you're doing a show there, like, you know.
We were talking before about Spirit Store and Dundalk.
Oh, it's unreal. Oh, so
fucking
good.
Great. I did it on a Sunday night, which shouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right. I drove home like that.
Yeah.
Because
people
too,
come from everywhere to go to. You people from Newry, people come from like Drogheda, places like that.
And you also, you get people going who haven't seen you before as well.
Yeah.
There's a cracking wee apple green there as well.
A wee apple green's
great. Oh, yeah. The mini one? The Burger King and stuff, is it? That's a great one.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You can walk in and out. They don't make you go to the hatch and...
Yeah,
even late. What time were we chatting?
Yeah, they were late enough.
Post gig?
Yeah. I was left in there before, after a gig, definitely. Anyway.
I hate the apple green hatch. I won't do that.
Yeah, I won't do it.
I'll drive on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel bad for the guy as well.
Yeah.
When people go to do their full shopping there and he's walking about.
Yeah.
I won't do it.
Like when you're driving in the apple greens and you're just thinking to yourself, if I can see a mop, I'm going to keep driving.
Yeah.
You see the mop on the door, you're like, it's closed, man.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your tour, say you're in Belfast today.
Yeah.
What are you doing for the hours before the show? Are you eating? Are you walking about?
Yeah, I'm going to go check around, see if I can get a bit of nice food. I'm staying in Belfast tonight. Myself and Connie having a little apartment together.
Oh,
wow. So we're staying over, a bit of crack, because we've been driving every night. Like, you know, go for a bit of breakfast in the morning, back down to Dublin then, I suppose.
Pint after, yes or no?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to be sick, man, for tomorrow, especially for Vicar Street. I can't do it anymore.
Please don't.
Swear to God, I had, a couple of weeks ago, after Waterford, Theatre Royal Waterford, I think I had like 4 pints of Guinness after the show, and I'm not messing, I was fucking dying for about 3 days.
Yeah.
I can't, like, it's so inconsistent with me now. I'm suicidal. Like, I
just
want to
hear something that might scare both of you.
Mm.
I don't even like. Do not say you're off it anymore. I'm not off it.
Are you kidding me?
But I couldn't be arsed.
Yeah, but I'm the same.
Couldn't be arsed.
That's the way I'm going.
Swear to God.
Because I didn't drink for like 6 years and I went back on it and it was great.
Yeah.
And then it's just slowly now these.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm messing around with
the averages and I'm going, 4 pints should be fine. I mean, like, properly.
But 4 pints is. You need to go straight for 8.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's 2. Honestly, I'm not even joking.
You're probably right, 3 or 8. It's probably 3 is the cutoff.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It wasn't even a violent hangover. It was a low-lying, horrible, shitty anxiety for 4 days.
Yeah.
I'd rather have been puking my guts up until 12 the following morning rather than what I had.
Aye.
Yeah.
And everything was a massive deal to me. Do you know what I mean? Spilled a bit of coffee on my fleece. There was a smell of coffee on my fleece.
Yeah.
That was a massive concern for me for a while. I was properly panicking about that.
Mick, if you're the booze industry is not,
oh, I'll never
not
recover.
Like,
it's not going to recover at all. Like,
are you calming down then, or what are you doing? Are you just?
No, I'm taking edibles instead. they're great.
Yeah. In Australia?
No, I've just kind of like, to be honest, what happened was I lost a load of weight in Edinburgh because I was walking in between so many gigs, and I was like, I don't want to get fucking fatter.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to keep trying to lose weight. And I just hit a point where I'm like, I'm fucking bored of it.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, that's a boring thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I realised I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I did.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, if I stopped doing this, and I wasn't drinking that much. Like, we'd have had pints after shows and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was always like a bit of a novelty.
Yeah.
And then, it's come down for me, I don't really like the taste of any of it.
Even beer, Guinness, nothing.
Still. I love Guinness.
Yeah, Guinness is good.
And that's what I miss the most.
But the 0-0 Guinnesses are nice, actually. Gluten, genuinely all right.
Oh, you can't have gluten now.
I mean, gluten
don't think.
I haven't seen, I can't.
Did not make that like fucking vegan or something a couple of years
ago. Vegan, but not gluten free.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's different, is it?
Yeah.
And I'll still stick a slice of bacon in it still.
Yeah.
I always did that.
Oh, yeah. Not even cooked.
No. Raw bacon.
Yeah. He's like, that's giving me a real bad hangover. I'm like, it's the bacon.
It's the bacon.
You wouldn't believe me. He doesn't have crumbs. He just keeps eating raw meat. I think he's Japanese or something.
Yeah, because they put bacon in their Guinness.
Yeah, but I'm the same, because I have a gluten thing. So if I drink Guinness, Johnny Bo's wedding, we went to Fieldy's. We're drinking pint stout all day. And at about 8:30, the world fell out of my bottom.
Yeah.
And I haven't drank it since.
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I love it too. Like, it's fucking.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
I would nearly suggest driving in the Bangor and going for a pint of Guinness.
Really?
It's the nicest Guinness I've ever had in my life.
What they have a thing there where it's like a wee bit warmer?
It's two taps. So one of the taps is room temperature. So they give you, I think the Guinness is like normal cold Guinness. And then the second one for the head is like room temperature.
Okay,
but it's so thick and creamy. When you put your mouth to it, the lip mark is still in it at the bottom of the glass.
Nice.
Dave says that.
But you shed your brains out there.
It's just horrible.
Dave lives in Bangor and says sometimes when he's walking the dog on a nice night, he'll stop in there for a pint. And it's a back bar. There's a back bar to it. And on the way home, he'll sit outside with the dog and have a pint of Guinness, and that nice. To me sounds that's like nice. That's the way nice. I would like to
yeah.
drink.
Yeah.
I'm the same as yourself. Now, I haven't done a bit of a help us in Edinburgh, right? Because I was eating fucking like a pig. I'm at losing a good bit.
Yeah.
About 8.5-9 kilos or something like that.
I thought you were about to say stone for a second. Yeah, I was like, please let's see photos.
How big were you?
I was in a bad kind. I was eating fucking every gig I was eating before and after it and fucking drinking.
And it's all food trucks.
Oh, shit, man. I was in a bad way. But I went on this help us. I did this limbo thing, which is like a little kind of a, it's what would you call it? Like a blood glucose monitor. This guy gave it to me. You put it in your arm.
Oh, yeah.
And it transmits to your phone, right? So it's like all about keeping your blood levels, glucose levels steady. So if you have a burger or something, this thing will just go off the chart, up off the chart, and go down and crash. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you eating?
Right,
there?
Right.
You have to track everything, you know. So basically, kind of meant giving up a load of shit food and carbs. And I wonder, am I more susceptible? You know what I mean? I wonder, is the Guinness having a bigger effect on me? Because
that could be
because I'm not, there's not as much soakage or anything like that, and I'm just drinking.
Yeah. Maybe just not even used to it.
Yeah, not used healthy, to it. Yeah,
because like, I found that even
Jesus Christ,
like going off the drink for about 6 weeks, I just like didn't drink at all.
Yeah,
and lost a bunch of weight. Didn't even do not any even extra exercise. And just weight
the
was
extra
falling
calories.
Off.
Yeah.
Full hairline came back.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It was black again. It was brilliant. And
you were there.
Yeah, everything. That might be diabetes, but same thing. Like having a pint that night and then just being wrecked for
wrecked. And I used to love pints, man. I loved going drinking and after gigs. And you know,
the first time I ever drank, the first pint I had underage in a bar was Guinness. And me and Michael were out with our tech class in Belfast, White's Tavern. And
Guinness, did you have a drop of blackcurrant in it for your first one?
No, but I didn't know I liked it, but I wanted. You know, I was like the big man. I was like, this is what I would like to drink. Yeah. And I'm trying to be inconspicuous, like 16, having a pint. And the barmaid poured it, obviously like 3/4 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just let it sit there. And I was like, took it and was like, thank you, handed her a fiver. And started. No. And she was like, she knew, she was like, love,
oh God,
give me that back. You have to wait for it. Yeah. And the first pint of it was disgusting.
Yeah.
But quickly I liked it. But there must be a lot of people, 20% of people who drink Guinness must not like it. They're like, there's a lot of people... Yeah. Who it's for the look.
It's for the ceremony. Right. It's a kind of, there's a thing to it, the 2-part pour and all that.
Yeah.
I remember, Guinness was one of the first drinks I drank as well, and I used to drink in a pub with my dad, and then I made the mistake of trying to drink with my dad.
Yeah.
Who is a seasoned, Georgie Two Sups was his nickname, pints of Guinness, that's gone.
Yeah.
And I tried to stay pace with him.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I made that mistake once myself.
Yeah, Georgie Two Sups and Christy Brown is what we were known as. I got carried home by him and my uncle. I got so drunk. I remember one time, you know, in between their shoulders, couldn't walk. Like, they dragged me home like that. My 2 feet dragging the whole way on the ground. And it was probably about 18, 19. They fucked me into the bed. Fell asleep, right? And this is awful now, but woke up and fucking pissed myself so many, many, many hours later. And my mobile phone was in my pocket. So I'd like pissed my phone to death, basically. And I went down the stairs, and my mother, just had the internet in the house. She had an old laptop, and I was Googling fucking wet pissy phones. How am I going to save this thing? And I had already set up her hairdryer against it. And then it was like, the first thing I was like, do not use a hairdryer. It's going to blow all the piss into it. And I was like, use a Hoover. So then I remember going and getting the Hoover. And it was one of those old phones. So I threw the Hoover up against it and it sucked a couple of the buttons off it. And the buttons were just fucking rattling around inside my mother's Hoover. And then I was opening up the Hoover and you get a smell of piss out of the Hoover.
Poor Henry. You
know, I was like going, oh God. Even back then, I was like, the following day, I'd have been like, I'm there, lads. I'm out. And now I'm 4 pints in and I'm like, I
can feel my first hangover. It was that night. It was after
horrendous.
That night. And it was maybe 2-3 days. KFC the next day for breakfast.
You crave all that shit then. Get the salt into you.
I had a friend who, as a hangover cure, he would drink a pint of orange cordial with salt in it.
Oh, yeah. The fucking diurolites.
Great, I remember one time going out and it was the Armagh got into the All-Ireland final.
Right.
And I know it's confusing because who the fuck, I don't give a fuck about football or anything. But everybody was going to this pub in Lurgan, and I was 16, 17 maybe, and my dad was going with his mates. He doesn't watch football either. He just wanted to get out for a pint. And my mum was like, "Doc, take him with you. Yeah. All his friends are going, take him with you."
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going out. Fucking take him. So got to the pub. My dad handed me 30 quid, and he just went, "I don't want to see your fucking face the rest of this day." Right? I'm like, no problem. Fucking thank you. But I was watching him across the bar. So every time he got a pint, I got a pint. And I'm like trying to keep pace with him.
Right.
And there was a point where I was that drunk. I went, I cannot let my ma see me.
Yeah.
Right. So I just started walking home.
Yeah.
My ma drove past me to pick my dad up. And I was like, Then they all drove past me on the way home. I remember getting to the front door of my house and I couldn't get the key in the door. And my mom opened the front door and she just went, "Paddy Bartlett, that child can't even fucking talk." I was like, it was a disaster.
Yeah. I saw my dad drunk once. My dad done drink, teetotal. Yeah. But whenever I was about 13, there was some like party at the house and he was drinking and he had one pint of beer, one can of beer. Yeah. And
drunk off that.
But I, he's a wee man as well. But I wanted my dad to drink.
Yeah,
I sort of like didn't like that my dad didn't drink.
Something?
Yes, I thought he was a nerd because he didn't drink. Yeah. I was like, please, I'm like, please, drink.
Come on, do you line that for more?
And then he, when he was drunk, I was sitting in a different room watching TV.
Yeah.
And then he came in, he's sort of swaying a bit, and I was like, this is what I want. This is my dad.
Wow. That's...
He started crying.
He started crying.
He started like giving me a hug. And then he was tears in his eyes, and I'm like, yeah. Daddy, please don't drink again. Please never drink again. Yeah. It was the worst. I regretted making him drink, but I regretted being like, I'd love him to drink so bad. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. Tears in his eyes. And,
there's something cool about your parents. My parents would have been quite heavy drinkers, but like weekend... All my friends loved coming down from Dublin because my mum and dad would be up with them drinking, fucking singing till 6 in the morning. Like, you know, they were like, your fucking mum and dad are so class. But they would drink like... I mean, I have a story about my dad being the opposite. He'd drink so much, he ran through our porch.
That was when we started gigging with you.
That was early like days.
15 years ago
early
or so.
Early days, yeah.
That was... I remember just... Yeah, you always have that bit about someone, one bit of material about someone where you go, please do it.
He ran through the porch.
I'd be like, please do it tonight. Fuck, and then when you started that story, I would be like, this was
hammered. But my mother told a better version of that story, actually. My mum knows what actually happened.
Right.
I kind of make it up a little bit, and he said whatever about he ripped himself to shreds. He really has still has scars. He's fucking, you know what I mean? Massive.
But wasn't it that he forgot that you had a conservatory?
He forgot that we had a porch. That's what the joke was. But he dropped my cousin home, and I live in a council estate, and he ran home then, and it was in the middle of the night. The hall door was open, the fucking porch was closed, and it was like tinted glass, and the hall light was on. So he just ran straight through. Massive crash. And then my mother was like, the whole joke was like that he won't give up the alcohol for anything.
Yeah.
And the paramedics say to him, oh, you're lucky you're wearing jeans because they saved your legs. And he's like, I better get a denim jacket. So, and that was the whole joke. But what my mother actually said happened to me, right? This is a genuine, because my mother heard me do this routine and she taught me her version of events. Because I remember I was in bed as a kid. Remember the smashing of the porch and my dad in the hall. My neighbour came in and was like, go back upstairs. They called an ambulance. It was quite gruesome down there, But my mother said, so my dad was dropping one of my cousins home, right? We were having a drink in their house. One of the cousins came over with us. And then he was like, I don't want to stay. So my dad dropped him back again. And he came back and ran through the porch. But my mother was in the kitchen eating chips, right? They were all having a few chips. And she heard this massive crash, right? And she was like, what the fuck? But my dad just strolled into the kitchen and was like looking around. And she said, now the blood was just fucking pouring out of him. And he sat, we have a little couch like this in the kitchen. He sat down. And I swear to God, he went, you're not going to fucking believe this, girl. And she was like, what? Someone's after breaking your porch. Some fuckers have to break in your porch. And he was just standing there like losing liters of blood. And they called the paramedics. And I was like, oh my God. Like, she said it was just how cool he is. Like, for weeks he was picking bits of glass out of him. Because it can't even be. It can't even actually be all picked up on the x-ray. Because it's fucking glass. You can't actually see it all. He was like, fucking a month later, he was at his chest with stitches. And he pulled out a big massive lump of glass and put it on the fucking fire. But she was just like, the way she tells it is even better. She was just casually like eating the chips, looking at him, and she was just looking at this fucking, you're not going to believe this, girl.
It's a different, there's a, like, cause how old are your parents?
My parents are sick. They're just 60, 62 and 61 now,
roughly same age as mine. Yeah. Like, they're a different breed.
Different breed, man.
Fucking opposite. Because my dad could, even now, at 66, at 65, he could drink to 4 in the morning and you'd wake up and he's a fry meal for you.
Singing.
Right. Like, I don't know how the fuck you do that.
And having a great time and probably good they keep doing it, really, to be honest. Do you know?
Got that Lemmy from Motorhead thing? Don't stop drinking,
keep,
you'll die.
Keep them going. Keep them going.
That's why when you said about, you're like, what's the point anymore? I'm like, Mick,
Oh, I'm not going to ever stop drinking. Like, yeah. I just mean I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
Which like has never happened before.
The opposite of an AA slogan.
Yeah.
I'm never going to stop drinking.
Yeah. I break into meetings and break them up.
Not AA.
You're the away end at AA meetings.
The way AA.
Yeah, do you imagine that, the flip side of it? You just meet up to fucking drink next door.
Right, just checking 0% beers out of people's hands. Fucking have a Coke.
Batting the coffee out of someone's hand.
The way, like, I would be on tour changes. I'm all about the early night.
Yeah.
Not even like one after the show. I would almost like to do that. I would like to sit with the support act and that kind of thing and have a drink after the show.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of it, but I can never be bothered when it comes around.
I'll do it after one or two. So I might do it. I have a few friends coming to Vicar Street, so I might do it there. And my family like that, my mum and dad and all that, they'll come to the Everyman in Cork. Whatever Everyman they go to, I'd just have a drink with them afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not too much, yeah.
So my problem is after big shows, my adrenaline's so fucking spiked.
That's
if
problem,
I start
it?
Drinking, it's like, yeah. Go to bed.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
going to be here to 11 in the morning, yeah. just yeah. like that.
But like, I see as soon as the show's over, I have no adrenaline.
Don't you?
Oh, really?
0%. We did the live podcast and it was unbelievable. It was like, what a night. And I had a great time. But as soon as I stepped off stage, I was like, yeah.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And it's been like that for a while. I think my adrenaline is so spread out during the day.
Yeah.
Like I'm never like pacing or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I feel the adrenaline doing on stage.
Yeah.
And then as soon as it's over, it's like there's none left.
I'd be quite relaxed all day now, and I get the opposite. I get a bit of a jump afterwards like yeah. that. And if I do start drinking, it's when you're drinking when you're excited or giddy, this is the problem. That's the
yeah,
mood.
Yeah,
whatever
yeah.
mood you're consuming the alcohol in, it's going to come out later on in the night, and all of a sudden then you're being thrown out of a chipper or something.
Yeah.
What was the first gig you did where you were like, let's do something after? Like it was an occasion or a certain level of gig?
See, I've never really been into, I'm never into like, let's all do something after, because then the whole day is people going, what time are we doing that? What time are we doing this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have something else to think about.
That is the hardest thing ever, man.
Yeah.
Fucking give away tickets to people even.
What time's your show?
What time's your show? What time are you on at?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What time will you be done at?
So what time?
Because I got to get a bus.
Do I have time for food? You're like,
yeah.
this is
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah. Where should I eat?
Do you fucking, you know what I mean? I've seen that you were at a fucking Foo Fighters concert last year. Were you on to them?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
asking them what time they're wrapping
Dave
up at, what
like,
time you're going on.
You'd be safe,
hey, listen,
just get
time?
A later bus. Yeah.
You feel like going, I can't plan your night out. I am your night out.
Yeah, yeah.
But we also would be the last people to know.
I know.
I don't know what time. I'm going to assume it's all door 7, show 8.
On the day, you kind of go, you kind of rock up at a rough time.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But people, it is a bit of entitlement, and it is the fact that people can just message you so easily.
Yeah.
Because like also at the end of the day, I always go, I'm not planning any messages like that, and then someone goes, what time will show be over? I'm like, working it out, like 9:40 roughly.
Yeah. Right.
And then you worry about them, and then during the show, I'm like, is he going to make his bus? Right.
Yeah.
I would be gutted.
It's not your concern, like.
Yeah.
But
are you going to do loads of Australia next year as well?
I think so. I think the minute the plan is do all the fringes. So do Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney. Just because I've always wanted to just go, I'm going to have a year where it's summer.
See that? I love that.
Do you know what
I mean? Nice. So you're back here, it'll be good weather.
Yeah. And then tour here, and then I'll probably do Edinburgh again. And then use Edinburgh to get a show ready.
Yeah,
to
I was going
to
ask, yeah, are you going to be doing a new show on the other fringes as well, or is it the show you're
I'll just use
now?
That to start working things up, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've got some new stuff already that I'm like, right, I can. But do you know when you've got a show that's sitting there
you
and you come up with some new stuff and you're
yeah,
like, that's
yeah,
better than this bit?
Yeah,
and you start
yeah,
fucking.
Yeah.
But
and then you get
or do you carry it over
the
next
the following
year?
Following year, you're going, I'd rather not put it in at all and just go off fucking. Try and keep it.
Yeah, but I think there's a. It tends to work out. I think I kind of look at our long shows now. They're always just evolving.
Yeah.
So there's never I've never written one was like, this is a show about this thing.
Yes.
It's just here's everything that's been going on the last wee while.
Yeah. Well, I'm terrible for naming it and then having
I fucking
can't do
it.
Correlation.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just going to keep it really vague from now.
Yeah.
Just like Shane Todd.
A pun on the name or something is always good.
Yeah.
Something
I do a thing where if there's a joke that I know is going to be in it,
yeah.
I just name it like after the joke.
Oh, yeah.
Or a line of the joke.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But sometimes it makes fuck all sense.
Yeah,
because when you do radio interviews, that's what they go. The show's called Mummy. Can you tell us a bit about you know why that? And I'm like, I don't know.
They made me name it in January. So
yeah. Yeah. If you had the move, say you had the move to Australia, right? For some reason, I don't know, you've been kicked out of paramilitary. Where would you live?
I don't know.
What part of Australia? Like,
yeah.
Because I kind of like the idea of living somewhere remote. I like the idea
the
of being like...
proper
yeah.
remote, like.
I would love to live in like somewhere where I can, if like, you know, money was no object.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
somewhere nice and all I
you have,
need...
You have £500 million.
£500 million, right? I would buy a decent house, right? Yeah. I'd fucking spruce it up. I'd have a diving board from the bed in the pool, but that's yeah. a different thing. And then I'd have just a massive field and a load of shotguns and beer cans.
Nice.
I just yeah. redneck it the yeah, rest of my right. life for the 5 years that I would live.
Like a ranch?
You're definitely one of them people that blow all the money, you know? When they
oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
You're on the news. You're on the news.
I got a tax rebate, a sizable yeah. tax rebate 2 months ago. Yeah. Gone. Yeah.
Like, do you watch Yellowstone?
Not yet. I keep trying to start it and then it's... Because I have a real problem. There's so many shows that I want to watch and I go, I need to watch it all.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I can't watch.
I don't do two shows.
I hate starting something. I can't start something unless something else is finished.
Exactly. So I keep starting it and then going, oh, there's something else I want to.
But I like a ranch. I watch that and go, I want a ranch.
Yeah.
See, it's different in Australia than the outback is a bit different. My wife's dad worked over there as a doctor and properly in Halls Creek, proper outback. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's an Aboriginal community and it's just kind of a wild enough fucking place. So you talking about just a small bit out in the bush?
I would have it just like near a city. At the like fucking outskirts of the suburbs.
On taxi. The outskirts of town.
Taxi to the nightclub.
Yeah.
And limousine. And
the kind of car, like a nice car, but it's dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seen Mickey's Mustang? He has moss it.
Yeah. And you can see the city lights from where you live, but way in the distance.
Nice, yeah.
And you sit in a rocking chair at the front with the shotgun like opened up.
Yeah, just giving backpackers advice that makes no sense.
Someone cans of VB.
Yeah. Just somewhere we can get petrol. Oh, there hasn't been petrol in this town since the '40s. Yeah. What the fuck? And I'm like, I don't know.
And Chris, if you had to live away from here, where would you live? I know you lived in London for a while, but I mean, like, money's no object.
Do you know what? I'd probably say somewhere
you got
like
500 million.
Oh, Australia, man. Only for the biggest hang up with me in Australia, it's too far away from family here.
Yeah.
But Australia, we loved it. We were set to go back, like, you know, we were set to go back there when I lived there in 2009. We were going to go back the following year. So I love the stuff. I love this pace of life over there. Oh, man.
And it's fucking so clean.
Even when you have a full time job. I was working as a Sparks at the time. It's just you're finished kind of relatively early, you start early. There's so much. You go to the beach, you go to the park, there's barbecues everywhere, there's always stuff to
do. And it's like four people. It feels like the cities are set up for the residents, for the citizens.
Even
you know?
Like everything down to the cycle paths, man, they have everything thought of. It's done really well, like, you know.
And it's such a big melting pot of people as well. Like, you go, this is...
Culturally, it's class.
This is fucking great.
Yeah.
But probably there, man. Just even, I'm envious of people that get to raise their kids in Australia because it's a cool country, like. I mean, the bits I was in anyway.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it feels safe. It's good. Yeah. The weather's nice. The beaches. So much on your doorstep, like, you know.
Yeah. I'd probably, to be honest, when I think about it really, I'd probably move to Perth because in Perth, I'm not bad looking.
Right.
Sydney, fuck that.
Yeah.
Sydney's a bit more definitely materialistic and kind of.
Sydney, people in Sydney are so good looking. I wear my t-shirt in the shower. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a bit of a rat race as well, Sydney. Yeah. A tiny bit.
Sydney's a wee bit like LA.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
Whereas Melbourne's more like, I wouldn't say New York.
Kind of European kind of.
Yeah. But I loved it. I can't wait to go back. I love it.
Would you live there? Money was an option, or where would you live?
Yeah. Maybe there. I think America
feels. America'd be quite cool as well.
Just feels a wee bit unsure, though.
A bit dangerous,
you know,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I guess everywhere there'll be people listening, watching this, going, "I live in Melbourne and it's dangerous," you know.
Oh yeah, I guess yeah.
Yeah,
but
we're romanticising this one.
I don't know. I'd struggle to move away from here.
Yeah,
if money was no object.
If money was an option, to be fair, it would be, you know, build what I want in Cork.
Yeah, I have a bit of that too. Like there's definitely times where I look at places around Lurgan and go,
a ranch in Lurgan. I love you. You'd have a ranch in Lurgan.
Fucking right.
Ranch, yeah, like
Yellowstone.
Just outside. Yeah.
Just outside Lurgan. Yeah.
Call myself Kevin. Cost fuck all. Well, yeah, cost fuck all. But.
In the dusty car.
But it's a Berlingo now.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you mean? You don't have a two fucking...
Nah.
I got enough stick for that already. You can't fucking go...
I was in Craigavon last week. Let me say this. Craigavon's not a bad spot.
Something common. Been to Rushmere.
Not a bad spot.
Yeah.
I've been to Rushmere with you, but I mean the town. That was the first time I've been in the town.
There's not really a town. There's a load of roundabouts and a couple of houses.
Well, there's a subway in one of the garages.
Is that the one before Rushmere?
Man, I'm talking, I was in the town. And then I was on my way out of the town. And there's a spar with it. You got the town, which feels quite uphill. And I went,
I don't know of a town in Crewe.
Huh?
Like a town centre?
Yep.
Like there was a town?
Yep.
Like Hollywood, like a main street and a war memorial all mm-hmm. in Kirkhaven? Mm-hmm. Are you sure you're in Kirkhaven?
There was a war memorial, but there was like...
It's just not for the same army.
It was...
R.I.P. Sparky, he didn't do it.
In brackets, he didn't show up. So, there is like a town. I was in it. And there's like a Poundland, the Little and all that. And then there's two spars with subways in it because I was sat having it. I didn't go all the way there for a subway. I was doing an audition.
You sure you weren't in Portadown? You were doing an audition in Kirkhaven?
Yep. Could have been in Portadown.
I think you're in Portadown.
I was in Portadown.
Aye, yeah.
Is there a subway in the spar there?
I'm sure there is. Aye. Yeah, there is. Yeah, it's Portadown. Well, to be honest with you, it's a no man's land. It's kind of... You could be forgiven for being confused.
Portadown, Lurgan, Kirkhaven.
You said there was a KFC?
I didn't say there was a KFC.
No, that's definitely Portadown.
Right.
But just up a wee bit, there's a spar with a subway.
See, now I'm thinking about it, it was Portadown.
Aye. But you're right in, you're just in Portadown, so you're all right. That's not your fault.
Right.
Yeah.
Because wasn't Kirkhaven built, I'm sure there's places down south like this, it was built as a city. As in...
So, the idea behind it was like, it was supposed to be... Yeah, it was supposed to be like Northern Ireland's like fucking future city.
Right.
Because we didn't have roundabouts here in the 70s. Because there was a whole thing that... I remember, because I went to school in Kirkhaven, they were still kind of bitter about it, that they built the Goodyear factory. And the idea was it would get workers from Belfast to come down. So they gave them all grants to move down to Kirkhaven. And they all moved down, got their grant, and then went fucking back to Belfast.
Straight back. Fair play. Sly.
Yeah, sly as fuck. And big city fuck.
Because they said they were going to bring all the factories there. Right.
I think there was DeLorean was going to be down there as well or something.
Right.
But, yeah, because that's why like all the... I think somebody told me at one point it wasn't quite finished. So the roundabouts are all numbered or letters. And that was part of the fact that halfway through building it, they went, oh, this isn't going to work. So then it all just... There's loads of houses. But you can go from like a really nice housing estate to just fields.
Yeah.
And then another housing. Do you know what I mean? So there was something about that.
Rushmere Shopping Spot. Big shop.
That's a great shop.
Nando's in it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Nando's in it.
Can't beat a Nando's on the road.
Love
a Nando's, man.
Oh, Chris.
Do you know what? Australian Nando's is up its game since the last time I was there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When I was over last
year. That Melbourne one was a disgrace.
It was a shit show.
Wouldn't darken the door of the place, Chris.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was this in Australia? And how was it bad? Like,
no, just not a wide variety.
The menu,
it was all chicken.
Right. The menu is similar.
Gonna get a burger or not?
The menu's similar but different.
Right.
But only a wee bit different, but to the point where just keep it the same as it is here. Plus, you don't get greeted when you go in.
Okay, right.
You normally hear they go in, table for how many?
Have you been here before?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I told you the time I knew I was fat. When I went to Nando's and the girl didn't ask me if I'd been there before. So one look at me and went, he's been here a few times.
Yeah, but is it a coincidence that I was there a few months ago and now it's up to scheme?
That's probably what it is, Shane. You probably got your emails.
Andrew Ryan sent
them. I was going to say.
Andrew genuinely, like, we had Andrew on the podcast, we've had him on loads of times, and we're talking about flights, and he likes, yeah. I know you know Andrew, but he's always on the
totally
ombudsman.
He's totally on it, yeah.
We then fucked up our flights to London, not our fault, and he's like, we're like, oh, we'll send it to Andrew to take care of it. He's like, on it.
Done.
And
did
I
you get it done?
I had a flight, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on a flight home from Edinburgh, I had to get one from Newcastle instead, straight on to him, and he loves it.
He loves it.
Loves it.
Administration.
I reckon he's cleaned up, made a fortune with that air traffic control problem. Do you remember
He had a flight changed four times or something like that. And I was like, he's the only man inside.
He knows his rights.
He loves it. It's just, that's Christmas.
Yeah.
That's Christmas paid for. I'm shit with any travel that I do. If it gets disrupted, I'll never like claim it.
I know, yeah. Only I was in an airport one time. Flight was like 4 hours delayed. And a lady in the queue was like, you can get €500 compensation. Make sure you get it. And we got it. Yeah. Only for that, I wouldn't have fucking known at all.
Yeah. Your tour goes into like what, March?
At the moment, March. Yeah, hopefully a little bit of April, I think. So kill it in May, definitely, because I won't be able to get another one out if I don't.
Yeah,
but, it's being added to all the time.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And Waterfront is coming up. I feel like your Waterfront's been happening for 10 years.
We put it on sale pretty early. So the first one sold out on the 13th of October.
Yes.
And then 17th of November is the second one.
couldn't do anything nice.
Tickets are available. I don't know, because after the first one, it's I don't want to celebrate after the first one because I have another one to do.
Yeah.
And then after the second one, I'm sort of like, oh, I feel like I'll be tired. I feel like I'm going to be stressed the whole month.
Yeah. There's a nice piece of space in there with sofas and stuff. You know, that like green room type bit, which is nice to just have people in for chilling drinks.
Out. Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere.
I think is, like, it's because I know like when McCann did his, he did that party in Lowry's and it was great.
Yeah.
But if I was going drinking even after a big show like that, I want to have three people with me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just not have to worry about too much.
You're just splitting the conversation. Though. Yeah. You can't talk to anyone properly.
Waterfront's great.
Yeah.
It's so great.
It's an amazing venue, like.
That's so 1 October, 1 November. Mm-hmm. I hate the gap in between.
Nothing you can do. Yeah.
I know. Tickets are available for the second one.
Yeah.
Put a link
there's
in.
We've added tickets to the first one as well. So there's about maybe 100 or something left that.
Because they don't sell.
Yeah. The side bits, is it?
Right side with you almost, profile with you, but they're on sale now.
Yeah. Why didn't I sell them normally? Just the
it's not great for stand up.
Yeah.
In terms of you're almost behind the comedian.
Yeah.
I think
you see your wee bum.
You see my wee arsenal. but they're great for music and stuff like that, but for the stand up it's there's no point.
Where are your tickets are on Ticketmaster,
Waterfront, Shine.net.
In the description. Your first Mandela sold out. When's the second one?
Yeah, the second one is in February. I can't remember it. It's the 16th or something like that. Yeah, and that's on sale. My website as well, chriskincomedy.com. So.
Yeah. I have a website called mickeybartlettcomedy.com and I haven't put anything on it.
Really?
It's just a really old photo of me saying stuff coming soon. You get on to that old Wix or something. Yeah,
just Google it.
Quarter space. Okay, boys, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it as always.
This was a lovely wee chat, wasn't it?
Nice.
Let's go for lunch.
Yeah.
Oh, aye.
Why not?
We'll go for lunch.
Obviously, why not?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly $1,000 of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.